Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to our latest RTE GAA podcast. We've got hurling semi-finals to look forward to with Shane Dowling a little bit later on, but Eamon Fitzmaurice is with myself and Rory now to preview the final round of the Football League. How are you, Eamon?
Great, Jackie. All good, thanks.
Good. And how are you, Rory? Good form, I take it?
Yeah, good. No, looking forward. Can you say you're looking forward to this weekend? I don't know. I suppose there are some things that we can look forward to. It's kind of morphed into a weekend whereby last year was very exciting. And look, Maybe that's just the nature of the way the competition has panned out this year, insofar as much of the sorting out was done last weekend. But there's still some things to kind of, you know, get your teeth into, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you're right. And look, for the state of play, for anybody who maybe doesn't know, Derry pretty much assured of a place in the final, barring some crazy results, I think, this weekend in Division One. The question really is who's going to join them. And then at the other end of the table, we already know Monaghan already relegated. Roscommon or Galway will join them. Simple situation for Roscommon. If they want to survive, they have to beat Derry and hope that Galway don't get anything out of their game in Kerry. Pádraic Joyce's side really only need a point or for Roscommon to be beaten to stay in Division One. So I think they're probably the most interesting games, Eamon, really. So let's start with Kerry Galway. I know you're planning on heading to Killarney. To me, that looks like the most intriguing game of the weekend in Division One, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I suppose the only thing with Galway at the moment, Jackie, is that you're kind of measuring them off more than half their team, not even half a squad missing. Like, I know all squads have had injury issues, and probably the frequency of the games and the condensed nature of the games. And I know you mentioned it Monday with regard to the state of the pitches and the weather and all of that. It's probably all playing into it. But Galway have been particularly severely affected in terms of the calibre of the players they're missing. They're missing so many of their top players. I think of the All-Stars they got in 2022, I think John Daly's the only one of them that's actually playing. And so they're missing leaders, they're missing big players. I think if they manage to stay in Division One, considering the amount of players they've been missing, it'll have been a great achievement for them. And even though the mood music around Galway's isn't overly positive at the moment, depending on who they get back and when, they could very well have a big say in things later on in the year. At the moment, it's a challenge for them and it's very difficult. I'd expect Kerry to win, to be honest, on Sunday, Jackie. I think that it's been a kind of a strange enough league for Kerry. They could end up on 10 points. Probably not overly happy with where they're at. Probably not playing as well as they can play. We're seeing flashes every weekend. But at the same time, I think the group will probably figure there's more in them. So, you know, like I said, if they win and they end up on 10 points, that's a very positive league. A lot of the time, that'll get you to a league final. But I still think that some of the players themselves will feel that they have another gear or two to go for possibly later on down the line.
Given that Jack was telling us a few weeks ago, Yerra were happy enough on six and to be safe, suddenly they could find themselves in a league final and they're in a completely different position than where they even thought they were going to be 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, if you're playing Jack in a game of golf or a game of cards or I don't know what, a quiz, if you're doing anything, he wants to win it. So Jack saying he's happy in six, he might have been saying that publicly, but I can't imagine, or he might be even trying to convince himself. But when it comes down, the competitive instincts are there. I think the only thing that would be a complication for them is the fact they're going over to Quinta de Lago next week. And I think they're due back on the Saturday prior to the league final. So that wouldn't be ideal, obviously. That would, you know, logistically, even in terms of your camp, does it affect your camp and the focus of the camp? So, you know, I think if they got to 10 points and if Derry and Dublin both win and end up in the league final, they'll be happy enough for that outcome.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Rory, given the nature of the beast of the planning situations. I think they'd be happy enough. So give me your perspective on kind of where they are. And I guess Galway, as Eamon says, if Galway were to survive this, I think that would be a magnificent achievement, given all of the problems that Eamon has outlined. They are probably the most hit of all the teams in the four divisions of missing players due to various reasons.
It's a fascinating contest in loads of ways, because I think regardless of the result, if Kerry win and don't make a league final, they'll be happy enough. If Galway lose and don't get relegated, they'll be happy enough. So it's a kind of an odd fixture. And I think what that might allow is for quite an open game, like the two teams, and generally speaking, Kerry-Galway clashes. It's one of those fixtures. I mean, we remember the All-Ireland final from 2 years ago. What a game that was. And it's just, you know, like in boxing parlance, again, styles make fights. When two teams with certain traditions come up against each other, generally speaking, the game evolves into a sort of a traditional game, and traditional games between Kerry Galway have tended to be quite open. So it'll be interesting from that point of view. From Kerry's perspective, I think Eamon is like, look, Eamon will know more than I will, of course, in terms of where Kerry are at. I think they have had a very... if you were marking it out of 10, you'd probably say about a 7. And I think the big blot really is what happened in Croke Park. And that's the only sort of fly in the ointment from their perspective. It isn't even so much the defeat. It was just the manner of which they went down. And I think that sort of acts as this sort of, that's a sort of a caveat in the back from Kerry's perspective. Because ultimately, look, given the nature of the way Dublin have stormed into form, I think most of the other counties now are very much realizing that their entire year and their performance and their form is going to be benchmarked against the All-Ireland champions. And I'd say that's the only thing that will rankle with them as they head off to Portugal for a week.
Yeah. I think the other thing that might be concerning him is that injury to Jason Foley, Eamon, because if he is to be missing at least a portion of the Munster Championship or whatever it is, it's a big part of the spine of your team that I think he's going to have to problem solve pretty quickly.
Yeah, he'd be a huge loss, Jackie. Look, I think it's like that thing always, you only miss someone when they're gone. Yeah. And the value that Jason brings, a very unique kind of makeup to the Kerry defence in terms of his size, his agility, his speed, because a lot of the rest of our backs aren't overly tall. So, you know, he was always given that kind of man-marking job. And oftentimes, if there was a bigger target man, that would be Jason. So, look, he's been ever-present for a long time, going back as far as 2018, I would say. So he will be a huge loss. And it looked nasty the last day. It looked like a bad enough injury. Mm. And, you know, I suppose the condensed nature of the season, okay, if it's a month to 6 weeks from the point of view, he might miss the Munster Championship and he'd be coming back around for the All-Ireland group stages. But if it's a more severe one than that, it can basically end your season. So hopefully it's not in that category. There's no kind of white smoke in Kerry yet as to the extent of the injury. But people are hopeful that it's not as bad as it looked on first viewing.
Cork are favourites for the Munster Championship now, I'd say, as a result, Eamon, are they?
Well, you said it, Rory. If I said that, half a cock would be going on top of me, accusing me of blowing them up. But to be honest, I think that'll be a great game. But if it was in Cork, I'd be giving the fact that Cork seemed to have turned a bit of a corner, I'd be giving them a bigger shout. But in Killarney, it's just always worked a bit more to Kerry. And the fact that Kerry lost a championship game there last year, for the first time since 95, that will be in the back of their mind that they won't want that happening again so soon. So, but it's less than a month away, so it's great to be looking forward to it.
You're some pair now, moving on to that already.
Rory started it.
I did start it.
All right. So look, I think you're right, Rory. For both teams, if Kerry were to win and not make a league final, probably fine for them. Similar situation for Galway. What about Roscommon against Derry? Do you give them any chance of a great escape against a Derry team who are pretty much already into a final?
No. Look, Derry are just playing at a totally different level. They have, whenever they've wanted to put in big shows, big performances, they obviously pulled some sort of a handbrake in relation to the game against Dublin by shuffling their pack, and probably had to really. But right from the very beginning of this league, to go down to Tralee on a wet night, throw the Glen lads in, who were only a week out from winning an All-Ireland club, eke out a 1-point victory against Kerry, who were coming off the back of an All-Ireland final defeat. So you would have been expecting Kerry to be, you know, right up for it, kind of gave you an indication of the intent that Derry were going to take to this league campaign. They have a chance now to make it into a final. I don't expect them to slip up. They're going to be at home. There'll be a big crowd. There's a big buzz in behind Derry football. All their top players seem to be playing really well. Shane McGuigan on fire. And Roscommon's form is just in the opposite direction. I just can't see it, really. I mean, it would be a mammoth victory. And even at that, it would still require a shift, a big shift in a points differential, because the two teams drew in the league campaign from Roscommon Galway's perspective. Isn't that right, Eamon? So an awful lot would need to go right for Roscommon for them to avoid the drop. And that has to start with them going up to Derry, beating Derry up there. And I just can't see that happening.
Yeah. Now, there's a 3-point differential, which isn't savage, but either way, you're still relying on a massive performance altogether, Eamon, for them to get anything out of, who have been, like, Derry have been the form team of this league. So I think given the trajectory of both teams at the moment, I don't think anybody would see them getting a result there.
No, the only caveat you'd have, Jackie, is if Derry out their second 15, not just that they rotated and brought in 5 or 6 players, if they actually put out, you know, a lot of the lads that mightn't have got much action in the league. And, you know, bearing in mind, even if they lose, it'll take a huge kind of leap of circumstances for them not to be in the league final the following week. So that's the only caveat. And if that was to happen, just from a cohesion point of view, you would give Roscommon a chance, all right. But once Derry have anyway, you know, from our 50-60% of their team up there, you'd expect Derry to win. And just as Rory said, they're going so well at the moment and they're really playing great football and scoring goals. And you know, they're exciting. They're excellent to watch. And I imagine they'll have their eyes on the final week later, probably against Dublin as well. So yeah, it's good stuff from Derry.
Yeah, definitely. So look, Dublin probably the most likely team then to be in the final, Eamon, you think? You know, they've got a game against Tyrone this weekend, probably again another chance for them to show us the football that we've been watching from them all year round. But they do look like a team who maybe would relish another opportunity to get into a league final and just keep winning.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can be sure. I think, did you mention it on Monday, Rory, that Desi Farrell hasn't won the league as a manager, so he'll have
that's that. Yeah, it's the only thing kind of missing off the CV. He has a Division 2 league title, but obviously the Division 1 league title is the one thing on the managerial CV missing. So
yeah, so he'll have that motivation. But I think the Dubs are just going so well, Jackie, they won't want to mess with that momentum.
Yeah.
Won't want to start saying, oh, will we, you know, maybe this weekend, you know, is it any big deal or whatever? They're at home. Tyrone were outstanding last weekend against Monaghan. So it should be a great game. It should be kind of an open game. But with the way the Dubs are going at the moment, you'd expect them to win. Like I said, Tyrone have been excellent. At home, especially in the two home games, the second half of the Mayo game and the last night as well. But with the way Dublin are going at the moment, I'd expect them to win. And you would expect, Derry-Dublin final.
Yeah. Well, then Division 1 kind of sorted, if we think that that's going to be the case. Division 2 sorted already in terms of promotion. We know Donegal and Armagh are going up. We know Kildare have been relegated. So the only other question to be decided this weekend, Rory, is Fermanagh and what happens with them. Fermanagh go to Cavan and they have to win away and hope that Cavan don't get anything from their clash with Kildare, who we've said are obviously already relegated. But even just chatting to Ryan McCluskey on Monday, he certainly wasn't holding out a lot of hope of them pulling off a Houdini kind of like escape, was he?
It was a very, very bad. I mean, concede the amount of goals that they have, and they've conceded a lot of goals. They've had a couple of hammer blows. I actually think the Cork win, not to be getting too parochial, that really knocked the stuffing out of them in terms of the momentum that they had. And the wheels certainly came off after that. They were competitive, even against Donegal, who would arguably be, you know, the best team in the league for me. Still, I know we'll see what happens between the two teams in the league final. You know, they played well right up to half time. I suppose that's the difference between the teams at the top level is stitching that 70 minutes together. the defeat the last day to Louth will, I mean, it'll be very, very hard to lift a team. Eamon probably has never experienced it, having been manager of Kerry. I don't know whether you've experienced it from a Louth perspective. I've certainly experienced it as a club player when you've gotten an absolute hiding. Can be very hard to lift the lads on a Tuesday and a Thursday, again, facing into a game where you absolutely have to win. Now, what are the caveats for them on that? I suppose, look, the fact that Louth in RD are nigh unbeatable. I don't know if anybody has come out of there with a win, but it was just the manner of it. And I think it's going to be difficult for them. The one thing that you might say is, do Cavan have much to play for? Will Cavan, again, not too dissimilar to potentially what Derry might do. They don't have a huge amount at stake from their point of view. They're not going to be promoted. They're not going to be relegated. Their Sam Maguire status is pretty much secure. So you would imagine the motivation levels should be there for Fermanagh, but I don't know as the quality.
Mm. And I think, Eamon, just to pick up on Rory's point there about coming back off a hiding, it's one thing to come off a hiding of somebody who you expect is going to give it to you, but I don't think Fermanagh would have expected to get a hiding like that last weekend. Yeah.
No, they wouldn't have, Jackie. And correct you, Rory, I was in the on the wrong side of plenty of hidings in my time. But no, look, I think with oftentimes when you have a disappointing defeat like that, it can go both ways. Depending on how it was managed straight away afterwards, you can still, you know, you can say, look, lads, obviously very disappointing and everything else, but we still have a shot next weekend and we have to react next weekend. And there'd probably have been a bit of anger in their training sessions this week, particularly at the concession of all the goals, the six goals. And that, you know, that would have been, because I saw Fermanagh in a couple of their earlier games and they were impressive. And I think your point is valid, Rory, about that victory for Cork up there, that it flipped the two county seasons. It put Cork on the right track, that they were very close to previous to that. And similarly for Fermanagh, then it put them going slightly the wrong way. I mean, they were very impressive in the first half against Donegal, Fermanagh, and second half, Donegal got hold of that game. So, you know, they still have something to fight for, but it's looking unlikely. And, you know, they would have been predicted possibly at the start to go back down again. And it's looking slightly like that's going to be the way that they've done it. And I think Cavan will be anxious to react to last weekend as well, because they would have been going up to Armagh full of ambition, and they got a fine trimming as well. So they're in a similar position, you know, that they're going to need to react. And they've had, if they do, they've had a hugely positive league, because there would have been a lot of question marks over them at the start of the league. Would they be the ones to go straight back down again?
And I think if Louth win, if I'm not mistaken, Jackie, it's immaterial anyway, because Louth will be on 6 points, and that's for a man of gun.
Yeah. Well, look, that kind of rounds off the Division 1 and 2. Can I just get a quick rapid fire on 3 and 4, Eamon, because we very rarely get to do these, but there are kind of two key games in both of these. Division 3, you've got Down, Westmeath and Clare vying for promotion. And really the shootout is kind of in Newry on Sunday, which, if we were looking at the lower divisions, that's probably the one. And in a lot of ways, a glamour tie in and of itself. You know, Clare, if they were to be able to bounce back, given what happened to them last year, similarly with Down, maybe could have been Talton Cup winners last year. I think for both of these to be able to bounce straight back up would be a huge one.
It would. And I think the home factor and the fact that they've been playing so well, you know, scoring huge points, totals, conceding very little. They've been in great form. I know they didn't get the win last weekend against Westmeath, but they'd be of a similar standard. But it's been an unbelievable league from Clare, Jack.
Yeah.
You know, they've really, I think, boxed above possibly their own expectations even, that they're in a position to go up. And they're very unlucky that they're not even in an even better position. Because, you know,
they were very unlucky against Westmeath, were they? Yeah. I mean, was there a controversial decision in that game?
There was a controversial decision about a goal right at the end that would have won the game for them. And obviously that was a hugely significant. Now, they rode their luck in a couple of the games since then. Offaly, you know, they were way behind against Offaly and they ended up beating them. Limerick fought back against them in their game and they pulled away in the end. So they've done unbelievably well to put themselves in this position, considering change management. Mark Fitzgerald has done very well since he's gone in there. And then as well, on top of that, all of the players that either retired or opted out for the season, and you would have expected, you know, basically the backside to fall out. But now they have had a good under 20 team the last couple of years, and they gave Kerry a right fright inside in Tralee last year in the under 20 championship. They had a lot of good players in that team, so those lads are starting to come through. But Down are very hard to beat above there. So if Clare manage to go up to Down and win above there, then they will have earned their promotion and their full value for it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I picked them as well, Jackie, at the start of the year to get relegated from Division 3, because I thought that, as Eamon just mentioned, I just thought that all the absentees, the departures, the change of management, the end of the Colm Collins era, I thought they'd really struggle in Division 3, and the opposite has been the case. I think they've been a major story, and bigger fool me for touting them for that. But like, they have been incredible to regenerate, to make themselves competitive again. If they don't go up this Sunday or this weekend, I'd give them every chance next year, because they'll build again. They consistently show unbelievable resilience, I think, in terms of their football side of things. And I was watching that game last year with that under 20 game. Did it go to extra time?
Yeah.
Kerry to extra time in that under 20 game. And there's a couple of really, really top guys. Did a fellow play in midfield? I can't remember his name now. He was outstanding.
McNamara, yeah. Same player, yeah.
So I think they've done incredible work right across the county in a football sense, which they don't often get the credit for. And I remember a good few years ago whereby they had to go up to Armagh. This was in Colm Collins era. And everybody once again said, they'll have no chance. And they went up to Armagh into the athletic grounds, and they came out with a win, stopped Armagh from being promoted and went up themselves. So
they'll fancy their chances in the Munster championship as well.
Absolutely.
And I would give them a shake as well. Now, like, this weekend, because I do think they won't be quaking in their boots driving up to Newry. The only thing is, from what I hear, Oran Murdoch, I haven't seen a huge amount of Down, but I've just been looking at some stuff online in relation to match reports and that, and he's a midfielder that was at one stage mooted for a shot at the AFL, and in the end I don't think he went. He has been playing midfield for them, scoring heavily from a midfield perspective. Missed the last two games, I think, with a quad injury, and potentially is back this weekend. He's a huge, huge prospect for Down. They've got an awful lot of young, really hungry players. Very, very young, ambitious manager. It would be a big, big stunt to their development and their growth if they were to miss out with an opportunity to go up at home to Clare this weekend. So you'd give him a hesitant nod. But I think Clare will give them plenty of it.
Yeah, I agree. Last word briefly then, Eamon, on Division 4, where you've got Laois out in front, but you've got Longford, Wexford, Leitrim all sitting below on 8 points. Longford, Wexford probably looks like almost a direct head-to-head shootout, but there's plenty of others in the mix there as well. Division 4 is nicely poised as well.
It is. It's great. Mikey Stafford there, the penalty against Leitrim and the cost of it at this stage.
But, might bite them, yes.
Generally, you know, especially when things are so tight in that division, you'd expect something unexpected to happen. And the most unexpected thing that could happen was that if Waterford actually beat Laois, and that would really put a cat amongst the pigeons. But it's highly unlikely the way Laois have been going. They've been going very well throughout the league, and in fairness, even a draw would suffice them, and they'll get through there. But as for the rest of it, it's all up for grabs. And I mean, Leitrim are in a very good position, and should they beat Tipperary, and Longford drop points, They're up as well. So there's a lot that can happen in that one, and it'll be one of those red zone ones that could be worth keeping. Yeah.
I always enjoyed them when we were doing Sunday Sport. I have to say, it was chaos in the studio where one of us was trying to talk, one of us was trying to do the maths with myself and Darren. It was mad, but great fun. So come here, before we finish up on the football pod, I did want to chat to you. Rory reminded me that we hadn't spoken to you since the Football Review Committee had come out, and you've had a chance to meet since. So I'm sure there's bits that you can tell us and bits that you can't tell us about what's going on in the background, but I'm sure it has been busy, to say the least, Damon. How's it all going?
Yeah, it is busy, Jackie. It's going fine. Look, we've met a couple of times online, and we've met in person. We're only getting going really, and we're figuring out, you know, all of the rules really. We did an exercise, Jim Gavin organized an exercise where we actually went through the rule book.
That was some fun.
Yeah, I learned a few bits and pieces myself that I wasn't overly familiar with. And we're reviewing the previous football review committee reports. And so it's kind of looking back before we start to look forward. But yeah, it's interesting work and it's enjoyable work. And it's certainly grabbed plenty of public interest as well. There's lots of advice and there's some left field suggestions, and then there's the field left of that left field suggestions. So people.
What's the craziest stuff you're being suggested?
Oh, the craziest stuff. Would I be giving away?
Yeah.
I'm listening to everyone and bearing every thought in mind. So if I was saying something was crazy, some fella would be saying, geez, I thought that was a great idea.
I thought that was great.
So no, like, look. Everything from rule changes to the number of people playing to the number of referees to what should be going on at halftime to halftime entertainment. People, look, there's massive interest and people have opinions in all of it. So it'll be interesting trying to pull it all together and distill it into something, something that hopefully will have a positive impact.
Is there a referee on it, Eamon? Is there a referee on the committee?
Not at the moment, Rory. No.
And who laid out the terms of reference for what you are trying to achieve?
As far as I know, it's coming from Charlotte Burns. I'm not 100% sure, Rory. I think it's Charlotte Burns. But to the best of my knowledge, there will be a media briefing at some stage. And, you know, I imagine all of the kind of terms of reference and the plan and all of that will be laid out at that stage then.
And Jackie, go on.
No, go for it, Roy.
I'm just wondering then, like, have you been told, right, so this is a 6-month, 12-month, you're going to do your work and then that's it, fold the tent, head off, or?
To the best of my knowledge, it's for 2 years. It's this year and season, to the best of my knowledge. After that, then I'm not sure, is there a longer plan or not involved? I think in general, that's the way the football review committees have worked in the past, that it's far over kind of 2 seasons in terms of, like I said, reviewing and then collating new information and making suggestions and so on.
That's what I was going to ask you about, how long that is. And also, when you've got the great minds of football all in one room, which first of all must be lovely to be asked to be on it, but also, do you find yourselves agreeing with each other or amongst yourselves? Are you saying, oh, come here, this fella is wildly off-piste on what he's thinking versus what I'm thinking?
No, there would be different opinions. But again, I suppose we're only getting going, Jackie. So I suppose the further on it goes and as we get into the meat of it and as we start to kind of come up with ideas and enhancements around the rules, I suppose that's when the real debate will start. Yeah. You know, at the moment, we haven't really got into the nitty gritty of it. It's like I said, it's more looking back than looking forward so far. But oh, I'm sure there'll be plenty of strong opinions, don't worry, Jackie, and plenty of disagreements within the room. But there's certainly a great energy and there's great interest from people to try and do as good a job as we possibly can.
I always remember, Eamon, just that one of the things when some of the new rules came in when Jim Gavin was manager, and one of the things that he went public on, it's very rare that Jim Gavin would venture anything forth in an official sense outside of, we'll say, his remit as Dublin manager at that time. But one question I always remember him asking is, what kind of game do you want? What kind of game do you want Gaelic football to be? And would that be something that's kind of informing his approach to this?
I think that's probably what everyone is thinking, Rory, really, like, that is probably a starting point, like, is what do members want? And you see, different people are going to have different opinions. A player might like, I think if you talk to a lot of players, a lot of them are quite happy with the way the game is and they're happy to play it as it is. You know, managers will have a certain opinion. If you're a manager of a Kerry or a Dublin, you might have one opinion. If you're a manager of a Wicklow, you might have a different opinion. You know, supporters are going to have different opinions. Members of the media are going to have different opinions. And everyone's kind of coming from a very positive place in that they believe their ideas are right and that it will be the panacea for football. You know, I've argued in the past there are needs for changes, I think, but at the same time, there are also plenty of good games. Even last weekend, we saw plenty of good games. That Mayo Derry game was a great game. The Monaghan Tyrone game was a great game. So, you know, there's a wide range of opinions that will come into it, but I think that is probably the ultimate question. All right, what as a GA community do we want football to be?
And Jackie, like you cover rugby. You saw there only just this weekend, the World Rugby are coming up with a whole batch of new rules, new proposals, yeah, new things to try out. Every sport needs to have an element of introspection and look in on itself and see, is there ways that we can make things better? But
started off, Rory, with 21 aside and sacked the goalposts and,
you know,
you could throw in the sideline and everything else. Like, so, I mean, the game is always evolving.
Always, yeah.
There can be a kind of maybe, you know, a bit of impatience around rule changes. But as the game evolves, if you wanted to maintain a certain viewing capacity, you need to evolve with it then from the rules perspective.
Mm. Well, look, hopefully we get plenty of opportunities to chat to you about it when it does all come to fruition. But best of luck, Eamon, keeping everybody happy and get rid of that advance.
Good luck with that one. Good luck with that one, Eamon.
Yeah. I know for a long time that the world doesn't work that way, Jackie.
Yeah. All right, listen, we'll leave the football there. Eamon, thanks a million.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. See you.
He hits it. It's over the bar.
Okay, Shane Dowling is with us to talk hurling now. We've got two Hurling League semi-finals to look forward to, Kilkenny and Limerick in Cork on Saturday afternoon, and then Clare and Tip in Port Laois on Sunday. And the first thing, Shane, is I saw Ollie Moran making this point as well, that could these not have been a doubleheader themselves in a big spectacle of hurling? I understand, obviously, both of them are part of doubleheaders anyway. The Cork footballers playing on Saturday. You've got the Laois hurlers playing in a Division 2A semi-final on Sunday in Port Laois as well. But I would have thought maybe the hurling public would have loved to go out and see a doubleheader of these four teams in action in one place.
Ah, sure. I said the very same thing myself during the week. It's probably disappointing. Like, I know when you... I suppose, I don't know, is it because pitches are unplayable, they mightn't take two games? I'd love to think that's the reason behind it. I'm not so sure it is. For me, it makes no sense not to have the two of them in the one venue. And I know when you bring four counties to one venue, one of or two of the counties may not be best pleased where it's on, but you got to look at the overall picture. And I don't know how many times we spoke about the development of the game. And I think if you just put a good value doubleheader on, it would attract a big crowd, because listen, we all know the value or lack of value of the league, whatever way you want to look at it. And I just think by doing something like that, it just may have brought a bit of an edge to the thing. But I mean, going down to, like, on Saturday, Limerick and Kilkenny down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I was at the league final there last year, and that was a dour enough affair. Mm. And this is a semi-final. So I just think if you brought all four together, it might have added to something. So it is disappointing that they're not together.
Yeah. And there are reasons for it, Rory. Like, I think the GAA have been outright and saying, look, there's only so many pitches. There's, like, Limerick isn't playable. There's plenty of pitches that aren't. And I totally get that. I just think, to Shane's point, when you are trying to promote the game and you're trying to make these feel like meaningful matches, a big spectacle of hurling does that job for you.
It's been a year and it's been a league where the attendances have not been good.
Yeah.
Not helped, obviously, by the fact that so many pitches are struggling. The weather has been poor. The Gaelic grounds is closed. I think Semple Stadium is closed as well, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. The pitch is getting a bit of work done. So your two or three big stadiums in Munster are out of action, which is obviously what I think. There'll be a big crowd in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Saturday, bigger than maybe you might expect. I think there'll be quite a good few neutral in a Cork sense from the Limerick-Kilkenny fixture go down to watch, because I think, look, Limerick versus Kilkenny will have a certain allure for the local. Mm. And then you have the footballers on afterwards. No doubt the Cork hurling crowd will just all get up and leave like they always do. But I think they're half four on a Saturday. The pitch in Páirc Uí Chaoimh is always in good nick, and it is arguably the best stadium outside Croke Park now, so it's a good setting for it. It was a good setting last year too. But I suppose, look, people find it hard to get to. I find that argument a small bit weak, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, what do people expect with modern day stadiums? Do they expect to be able to drive up to their seat and get out of their car and sit straight into it? That's just not how it works.
That'd be lovely. to be fair.
You know, like if you're going to Croke Park, you arrive into Dublin, you have to get the Lewis up to O'Connell Street, and then you have to walk from O'Connell Street up to Dublin Street. How long does that take? And people are whinging about a walk down the marina. You know, it's look, I think people look for excuses not to go to matches these days, which is a pity. And to go back to your original point, by putting a double header on together will give people more of an excuse to go.
Yeah. Look,
that's not the case this weekend, and they've been hit, I suppose, with the lack of facilities around Munster. The really odd one is Clare and Tipperary going to Portlaoise. Mm. You know, look, I was kind of thinking, would that nearly be better served down in Killarney, for instance? I don't know whether and throw it on as a doubleheader with Kerry Galway, or, you know, like, but look, this is the way it is.
Well, then let's talk about the games. I think the most interesting thing to me, Shane, is how Kilkenny approached this. I was reading Owen Cody's comments when he was kind of saying that being in a league final might put you under a bit of pressure ahead of the championship, that it might leave you too tight on time to get ready. But the mixed messages coming out of Kilkenny, you've got Eddie Brennan on one hand saying, let's have a rattle off them, it'd be great for them to go for it. And then you've got someone in the camp saying maybe being in a league final isn't a great thing. It's very hard to know where they're at with this. If you were in Kilkenny's shoes, how would you be approaching this?
That's a good question, because, I mean, they've been at the receiving end of a few beatings. Not hidings, but they've been beaten by Limerick the last number of times they've played them. So I'm sure that they probably want to get one over just for themselves internally, like, so that they know they can beat them. I mean, they don't want to land on to Páirc Uíomh on Saturday with that attitude and, you know, ship a 9 or 10 point Drummond, and then they may potentially meet him again further down the road, and it'll be, is it four times in a row, then they'll have lost to them. But I get Owen Cody's point as well, totally. I mean, you get the league final, you have 2 weeks preparation, you know, you need a few days to recover, etc., etc. So it's not ideal at all. I don't think it's a case of teams won't want to be there, but I still don't think you're going to see a team, when the teams come out later on tonight or tomorrow morning, I would be surprised if you see a full strength team on both sides. I still think they're going to use it as a game where they're going to give opportunities to players. And if they end up in the league final, then so be it. And if they don't, so be it as well. I think at no stage, I've never come across it anyway, does a manager say, lads, we actually don't want to win this game now because it's going to snooker us in a couple of weeks' time. It doesn't happen. What they may do is they may have come up with a number of tactics over the last number of months, and they'll say, you know what, we're not going to adapt these now because we don't want other teams to see what we're at. We'll go out and play the game. This is our team. This is what we want. And let's see, can we win it? And whatever will be, will be. And I think that's how it's going to be approached.
And I agree with that. But to the other side of that, Rory, at some point, they're going to have to prove to themselves and everybody else that they can beat Limerick and that they can go toe-to-toe with them. And if they wait until later in the summer to not show their full hand, but maybe to try out those tactics that Shane is talking about, to see, does this work against them? And are we going to have any joy? Because you want to find that out early in the season, I think, too.
Yeah, you do. But I was listening to, as you know, different to yourself and Shane, listening to people saying, oh, they have to go down and get stuck into Limerick. I wouldn't recommend that. Yeah. That's probably not a good idea either, because, you know, look, Limerick, well able for whatever way you approach this, it is going to be a mammoth task for them. They're going for a double treble. I personally think they're in a box seat to achieve that. I don't think Kilkenny have beaten Limerick in the championship since 2019, Shane, isn't that correct?
2019.
I don't know whether there might be a league, might be one league victory in
that. They haven't beat them in the league since 2010 either.
In 2010. So, like, you know, look, I suppose from Kilkenny's perspective, that will obviously rankle. You would imagine that that's not exactly the type of form that they would have. This is a proud hurling county with a massive tradition that, where the tables have almost been flipped and turned on their head to a certain extent. Mm. And I think they will relish the underdog role. They'll relish going in having a cut. I think the biggest thing for them is not to get, as Shane said, a bad beating like what happened in last year's league final. Make it competitive. Try and get something out of the game. Picked up an injury again, I think, last week, potentially to Mikey Butler. We're not entirely sure how serious that is. The other worry, I suppose, from a Kilkenny perspective, the under-21s or under-20 team that won the All-Ireland there 2 years ago, when they beat Limerick, actually, in Thurles, has any player come through off that team with the exception of Billy Drennan, who isn't actually automatic and first choice, who I thought would be in the team at this stage, still dependent, not dependent, but still when you have the likes of TJ and those guys. You know, look, I suppose from Kilkenny's perspective, you would have expected a bit more regeneration to happen. It's a slower process. We know at Intercounty now in terms of throwing young fellas in, and that may happen over the next year or two. But they're going to have their work cut out on Saturday.
Mm. What about Limerick then, Shane? Because John Kiely has done a nice job keeping them under the radar, pulling players in and out. But at some point, he's going to have to settle on who's playing for this team. And I think his biggest job is, how does he accommodate all these players? It's not just the all-stars that he's already looking at. It's like having Declan Hannan back, Dunico Dolig and how he's playing. Adam English looks undroppable. Cathal O'Neill being able to play anywhere. How does he accommodate all these players?
Yeah, and I think ahead of the weekend, just the one concern I'd have, but if you look at Mike Casey last week, he got a head injury. I actually, friends should reach out, shouldn't they, and ask someone how they are. I actually haven't done it, I must. But he got a head injury. Fergal O'Connor got a head injury. Sean Finn obviously still isn't ready. He saw no game. Mm. So I think they're going to be under serious pressure in the full back line this weekend. So I think some lads will get an opportunity there.
What's the story with Barry Nash?
He's fine, isn't he?
He's fine.
So, like you look at Cathal O'Neill, like, yes, but is he really going to replace Dermot Burns, Declan Hannan, or Kyle Hayes at this moment?
Maybe
in time,
not yet.
Most unlikely.
Yeah.
No, Donegh O'Dolig, is he really going to play replace Peter Casey, Aaron Gillan, Seamus Flanagan? So, like, you know, but I still, what I do think he has now is he now has got a bench that. Once it was light or anything like that, but now he's got serious. Adam English the same. Like, is he going to replace Keane, Grode, Tom Morrissey, you know, William McDonough, Darragh Donovan? He's not. But now you've got a lad that has proven in the league, if nothing else, that he's able to come on and actually make a huge difference. So he, like, while Limerick always had a strong impact, I just think their impact now has got a hell of a lot stronger.
But you don't see any of those being championship starters yet.
I wouldn't say I don't see it. In fairness to John, one thing I do know, like, when they play their internal games, if some lads aren't showing form, they ain't going to be picked. And he will do that. And I actually think maybe in the last couple of years, I don't know, has the personnel been there to start to give the other lads a kick up the backside, if you want to call it that. Whereas now I think, you know, if you're not performing, this lad is proven and he's now here with us 2 or 3 years. It's not that year. Cathal O'Neill but absolutely start in the half forward line and do just as good a job. So
what have you thought of him in the half back line, Shane?
I thought he's been much better wing back the last day than centre back. I think it takes time to adapt. The one thing I will say about a centre back in this current day and age, if you want to call it, is that it just suits Declan so perfect because he's so happy just to sit in the pocket, get a ball and pop it off. Cathal, that's not his game.
He wants to get it.
He wants to run hard, attack aggressively. So, and that suits the wing back a bit better. So I just think the wing back role is going to really suit him. And I could see his future there, no issue. But also, if he needs to go back up the other end as well, there's not an issue there as well. Similar to Kyle going up and back the field, there's just huge flexibility there.
Mm. The calibre of player they have there, Rory, a lot of those players we're talking about would start on how many other inter-county teams? Like, that is the embarrassment of riches that John Kiely has to choose from.
And it's, I said this before, you'd love to be a fly on the wall for their A's versus B's. I'd say it'd be fantastic games of hurling, if nothing else. And I think the only thing from a Limerick perspective is that the proximity to the Munster Championship and the fact that they could potentially end up meeting Clare in a final, like, would that bother them all that much? I'm not so sure. It's not ideal preparation now, the fact that the way the league runs this close, because you are kind of asking yourself the question, if for example, Limerick win, which I'd expect them to, and Clare to come out on the other side, which is a little bit more of a 50-50, and then Limerick and Clare are playing each other, and then they're playing each other again 7 days later or 2 weeks later or whatever it is in the championship. It's less than ideal, you know, given there's so much at stake. I've heard people say, oh, look, you should double up, put the league and the championship as the one, which I think they have done before. I think it was in the COVID year maybe or sometime around then. But I think they'll go. Limerick will do what Limerick will do this Saturday. And I think they'll win.
Mm. The one other thing that has surely disrupted their preparations, Shane, is Kyle Hayes and everything that's been going on with him during the week. And I'm sure John Kiely will just stick to hurling matters and want to just bed him back into the squad. But one, it has to have been a bit of a distraction, all this has been happening. And also, what does he do with Kyle Hayes? Does he put him straight back into the team and get him onto the pitch as quickly as possible? Or how do you think he's going to handle this situation?
Of course. my name was scheduled to come on this 3 weeks ago, the day after that this was going to happen. It'd just be my luck. Since I started doing this, since doing punditry work or whatever, the one thing I haven't been known for is sitting on the fence, and I've always been very honest and giving my opinion on things. To be very honest with you, Jackie, like Kyle is a good friend of mine, and I'm, you know, I don't feel it's right for me to go into much detail on this. It's absolutely none of my business. What I will say is that the decision was made yesterday. John has backed him up 100%. We all saw that a couple of weeks ago. And I don't see anything changing on that front now or in the near future.
Okay. That's understandable from a hurling perspective. There's no doubt about it. He adds a huge amount to the Limerick team. And I think Limerick hurling fans would be glad to see him on the pitch. I guess it's just how Limerick deal with all of this, isn't it? You know, with John Kiely dealing with outside noise that's infiltrating into the camp when you're trying to go for five in a row.
Yeah, I think if this was year one or even year two, I'd buy that, and I would see it as a huge concern. I can tell you now for a fact that that has had no impact on what Limerick want to do going forward. They're too experienced. They've got such a good management team. Obviously, if Caroline Curd was there, like that, she would have a huge role to play. She's not there. Joe Connor now is taking the reins for that. Joe's a solid, very, very solid guy as well. I know him in a different capacity when he was with us previously as an SNC, and that is a, you know, sports performance or whatever you want to call it. But I've no doubt that other people on the outside would be hoping that this may have an impact internally there, and that they might be able to gain a couple of percent on it. But sadly for other counties, I don't see it having any impact whatsoever.
Okay, well, we'll see when those teams are announced ahead of the weekend. As we're recording, we obviously don't know if he is going to be playing. The other game between Clare and Tip, Rory described that as a 50-50. To me, this is kind of the game of the weekend across the hurling and football codes in terms of the pre-championship setting of where these teams are at. Because Clare, you have to argue, had a great start to the league. Everybody's saying this team are going great. Tip have been kind of bubbling nicely under the surface, and this weekend is the perfect thermometer of where they're at.
I'd have to disagree with you saying it's a game of the weekend. I think it could be the worst game of the weekend, because I think Clare and Tip are going to, they know they're going to play each other a number of weeks later, whereas Limerick and Kilkenny know that they're not going to meet each other for a long time again. And if they are meeting each other, it's in the All-Ireland stages. If I'm Brian Lohan or Liam Cahill, I'm absolutely not going after anything that I've done in the training ground over the last couple of weeks or months, even at this stage. And no different to like Limerick and Kilkenny may approach of going with a strong team because they have the luxury of not meeting each other for a long time yet. I would be shocked if either manager goes fully loaded here. They may very well do. I know if I was in a position, I wouldn't. And I just, you know, they know they're going to meet each other in the not so distant future. Why would you give them some ammunition to look at back in a video? And I know that if you get to league final, all teams are going to get the videos anyway, and they can attend them and all that. But if it was me, I'd be playing safe here. No different to what I said. I'd probably play 7 or 8 starters. I give another 7 or 8 lads a bit of an opportunity. And I would just say, yeah, this is what we have now, and let's go out and try and win the game. And if you win it, great. And if you don't, so be it. I don't see any reason as to why both teams would go into this fixture fully locked and loaded.
They haven't met an awful lot you're going back because they obviously didn't come across each other this year's league campaign. The defeat last year, I know. Was it Eamon Foody was in goal that time where they conceded a couple of really, really bad goals. Conceded a couple of really bad goals. And it was a massive win for Tipperary, especially when you considered the championship that Clare had afterwards. Do you think that's going to have any bearing?
Not this weekend. I just don't see it. I'll put it to you this way. Like Brian Lohan now, is he year 5, isn't it?
Yeah.
And no silverware.
No, so, I was going to say that. Has he won anything? Like, I don't think he has, yeah.
Yeah, but is he really going to, like, and I'm sure he doesn't care himself, but, like, if he comes out of year 5 with a league title, considering what they have at their disposal, is that really going to be looked at as a successful period of time for Clare Hurling? I'm not so sure. So, like, he knows that he probably needs to bag a Munster championship at a minimum for, you know, and that's, I won't say that's what they deserve, but, like, if they did win it this year, nobody could begrudge them because of the performances and the consistency that they have shown in the last couple of years. Liam Cahill is in year 2. Again, like for me, they were very, very close last year and just maybe blew up at the latter end, and maybe they learned from that last year and just timed things a bit differently this year. But I don't think if they win the league, great, right? And I keep on saying it, there's nobody going out there not to win it, but I don't think it's going to be a priority in either dressing room this weekend.
Would you see them as being still the number two contender to Limerick at the minute, Shane.
Absolutely, and there's no reason not to think that. They've had a decent league campaign, no different to Limerick. I think they might have found, you know, a number of extra players, maybe not as much proven or whatever, but I still think that there's something there. They've been missing, you know, obviously a number of their stars that, you know, that we're aware of, you know, obviously Tony Kelly, Shane Donald. So when they come back in, I don't see any reason. And like they've freshened up their backroom team as well. Obviously with Brendan Bogler in there. I don't really know what he's like as a coach, but you know, they've been playing well this year and they know that they're very, very close and they don't need to find a whole lot. And I mean, day one, they play Limerick in Ennis. And for me, they lose that game. They're under serious pressure. They win that game and their year could just take off. And for me, that's what it's all about for Brian Lohan, is that day one in what's going to be.
I know. I was only thinking about it. Like, I mean, I'm going down to that, right? I am going.
Will you get a ticket?
That's the only thing I was going to say. Have you any tickets? Because that is going to be some game. It's going to be some atmosphere. I mean, what a day. Ennis, it's going to be full. What does it hold? 18, 19,000?
Does it even hold that?
Yeah, I'd say it's even less than that.
Would
surely,
you say, Jackie?
Yeah.
It might be only 16 or 17,000, but it nice. Will be packed to the rafters. And it's everything is on that now, really, isn't it, Shane?
I think so, because as I said, if Limerick were to lose that, Tipperary have a week off. So then the following week, they come into the Gaelic grounds fresh. And I mean, turn them over and all of a sudden Limerick could be all but out.
Yeah.
And if Clare were to lose it, then they have to go to Cork, isn't it?
That's right, Chep. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, that's a really, really hard fixture. So game one, it's amazing. I know what you say, like, when you go back to the old style hurling and you'd one cutted it back in the 90s, and if you lasted, you were out. But I think for either team, if you do lose day one, you're not out, but you're certainly not starting on the right foot.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, that's going to be a bit of crack to look forward to. What about Tip then, Shane? What have you made of them?
I'm a huge fan of Liam Cadden and Michael Beams. I've said it many times now. I was disappointed with them down in Park and Queen's the night they played Limerick. I thought for the first half they were definitely decent. I thought the second half they were poor. But I do like them, Jack. You have to say, I think they're a really, really well-coached team. And I think they're a relatively new team. It was funny when Bonner Maher came on the last day, me and Liam Sheedy were beside each other. I said, geez, Liam, does Bonner still have it in him? Like, to dig these guys out of a hole? And sure, within 5 minutes, he made a total light out of me. And the lights are so honest. But I do think they need everybody. That's the only thing I'd say. They need absolutely everybody at their disposal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, now down Seamus Kennedy, really disappointed for him. I mean, your heart would have to go out to him. It's just so, so hard. But they need everybody. I wouldn't see Tip coming out of Munster. I do think there's something there. I mean, last year they were.
Are you picking your three, Shane?
I would say Tip. No. Last year in year one, they drew at Limerick in Thurles, right? And they had them at sixes and sevens for a lot of the game. I don't see why a year two that they wouldn't have progressed a small bit. So I do like them. I wouldn't judge them after this weekend. I won't judge them after the Limerick game. I won't judge them after this weekend. I think that they have something inside in them four walls that they can produce something this year.
Would a national title for them in the league, I'm not suggesting that it wouldn't mean anything, but would it be, is it important at all to their progression? You know, you talk about Limerick and Clare maybe playing each other in a bit of shadow boxing or whatever. Are Tipperary in a different scenario because they're still unproven?
Not for me. I mean, you win a league title and you don't get out of Munster. Are the Tipperary public going to be happy?
Yeah,
with that?
True. That's true.
They're not. So, yeah.
Are the Tipperary public ever happy?
My mother's a Tip woman now, Rory, so I better pass that one. But you win a league title, get out of Munster and give the All-Ireland rattle, and then it might be looked at a decent year. But win a league title and don't get out of Munster, I don't think that's going to buy you a pass.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm hoping that we get two enthralling games. As we've said, it's a pity that it's not a doubleheader, but I do think, Rory, we're going to get maybe not a championship tilt, but I think we'll see good hurling this weekend. And I think we're getting to see teams that are slightly getting closer to a championship level here. And hopefully we're going to get that this weekend in two good games.
Yeah. And I think, look, people do have to be a small bit patient. I mean, the World Cup of hurling is coming, you know, it's coming. Like, it is, it's very, very close now. We have it every year. There's that 5 or 6 week period from the middle of April right through to the end of May. It's just electric. It's the best time for hurling. The problem is there's shadow boxing, and the sort of foreplay that we have to go through during the league has taken from the league to a certain extent, and the supporters are starting to vote with their feet. But I think we can get over all of that, because once the championship kicks in, this is going to be raucous. This weekend, we'll get hopefully two competitive games. And once the league final is played, done and dusted. And the other thing as well, I think next year's league campaign will be very, very interesting because of the quality of the teams in it, the reconstruction. You know, people might say that's a bit deck chairs on the Titanic, but I think, look, at least they're trying to change something up and trying to put a bit of variety into it, and it might put a bit more jeopardy into it and maybe incentivize it a little bit more. But, from the point of view of this weekend, it is probably the top four teams, you know, in the country that are meeting in the league semi-finals as things stand. And potentially even from last year, I know Tipperary didn't make it last year, but like on form, if you were to rank them, the hurling counties at the minute, you'd probably put these as the top four. So, you know, look, that's definitely something to savour.
Yeah. And so, last word to you on that, Shane, because I do think Limerick's still very comfortably top of the pile of those four.
Yeah, I think what someone said to me the other day inside the shop, the only good thing about the league semi-finals is that, you know, the championship is very close.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fair assessment myself.
Yeah.
Well, that is a good place to leave it then. Looking forward to the league semi-finals and the championship, which we are on the countdown to. Shane Dowling, thanks a million for being with us. And don't forget to everybody, wherever you can get your podcast, you can find us on Apple, you can find us on Spotify, you can find us on YouTube. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts, and we will talk to you Monday to look back on all the action.
How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it! He hits it! Wow. It's all-